Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be calling.
It is Tuesday, February 1st. Welcome to Menace Morning Show. I am Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host, Chris Drew. Chris, I'm fresh back in town from Sarasota, Florida, after the coldest weekend in the history of Florida. We were in the 30s, so it wasn't the tropical escape getaway that I was hoping it would be, but it was still really nice to get out of town and get in a little warmth. And not have any kids for 4 days. It was nice, but I'm back and it's time to go. And it is Black History Month, Chris. And because I'm a stiff white guy and you are not, I will let you tell a great Black History Month story.
So I love Black History Month, man. It's a great time for me, especially at work, being the only black guy that works at the place I work at, the station. It's funny because it's not just one radio station, Zach. It's a group of like four. And I'm the only black guy. And the 1 year I was 20 years old. I just started here and I didn't even have a full-time show on air or anything. I was kind of just like a sidekick and I talked sports with a couple people. And the one day, you know, one of the ladies comes in and she's like, "Hey, Chris, how are you? You know, Black History Month's coming up and we really want you to read our Black History Month spots, the breaks that we'll do, a feature on all the stations, you know, throughout the week." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I turn around and my dude, Jeff Kinsbox, is going to be like, "What the heck?" Like, "All right." And she's like, "All right. So we'll send a copy to you of what we want you to read and then just go record with Nivens." So I go that day, you know, I'm, you know, fresh to radio. I'm like, "All right, cool. I'm about to, you know, get my voice out there a little bit, about to make some noise on this." Get out there and I get to the studio. I start reading and I'm reading through it. And this script dog says colored people three times on it. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, "Yo, Nivens, I'm not trying to go down with the ship. Like, I'm not reading this. Can I change it?" And he's like, "Oh, well, what's wrong with it?" I was like, "Who wrote this? It says so-and-so is the first colored person." It says it like three times. I don't know what year you guys think this is, but I'm not going to sit here and say colored person on air. You know, I'm not going to do it. He's like, "Oh, can I see it?" And I was like, we got the same copy, handed it to him. He's like, "Oh yeah. I mean, if you want to make it politically correct, we can run it downstairs to James real quick." I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, if you want me to read colored people, I'm not doing it. Go get one of the white guys."
So he made it like, "If you want to make it politically correct."
And I was like,
"Bro, don't you want to? Are you okay with me reading this? Like, what?"
It's like, "Cause I'm not going to get canceled for this in my little town, man." Like Zach, dog, we are the only group of radio stations basically in the area.
Right.
I'm not going to have my, you know, it's Chris Drew here, you know, spotlighting Black History Month. You know, we got this colored person doing cool things over here, this colored person doing cool things over. Like, I'm not doing it.
No.
Act like it was
absolutely not.
Yeah, I was like, hell no. But happy February 1st. You know, go repeat a Drewski meme or something.
I saw a thing on Twitter that is so accurate. It's like, "Wow, glad January's over. That was the longest year of my life." But it is February. Fresh start to a fresh month. Mm-hmm. And it's my son's birthday tomorrow. So 12 years old. Shoot. I can't believe I have a freaking 12 year old. Wild shit.
Free
but
team.
Anyway, we got a parlay for you, Chris. Got to get back in town, get back into action with MyBookie, our partner. Go to MyBookie with the promo code Menace and you get free deposit match. So you put in $200, they match it with $200. So you essentially start with free money. And awesome site to bet on. They have anything you could want. I mean, props, futures. They'll even do boosted odds. They'll do all kinds of different stuff to entice you to keep playing. And if you come listen to the morning show, I give you a parlay almost every morning. And I haven't tracked it the last week or so, but I was hitting around 60%. So it's pretty high odds. So if you go to my bookie, here's my parlay. I'm taking the Maple Leafs, who are going to the Devils. Taking Maple Leafs money line and then the Predators at home versus the Canucks. I'm putting $200 on that to win $250. So all you need is the Leafs to win and the Predators to win. Leafs on the road, Predators at home. Go to MyBookie, promo code Menace. Lock that bad boy in, and you'll start with their free money. You'll hit that one, and you'll be up 250 plus whatever free money they gave you. So you can start off hot, but it's over at MyBookie. So that's my parlay for the day, Chris. What is going on other than the biggest? I mean, honestly, the best 2 week stretch that I can ever remember in NFL football. I mean, when you go back last weekend, the most unbelievable four games you've ever seen. Every single one was a walk-off play. Then you go to this weekend with the Bengals winning in overtime. The Rams 49ers played a great game. Just an unbelievable weekend altogether. And Joe Burrow, just my God, you talk about big dick energy. I mean, I've said it 100 times on the show, and he just has it. He has it. And I read a stat. I don't think it was during the game. I think it was on Twitter, but I looked into it. Joe Burrow, if he wins the Super Bowl, will become the first player ever to win a Heisman Trophy, a national title, and a Super Bowl title ever. And not only that, he'll do it all in 3 years, like all of it in like the last couple years. Just wild what this kid is doing.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, he was already the first number one overall pick that within two seasons to take his team to the conference title game. Like, that's incredible, and he won it. I mean, everything Joe Burrow has done, Zach, has been really special. And I hate doing it. I hate, like, making these grand comparisons. But it feels like we're watching, like, an all-time great, like, kind of the origin story of that all-time great is what it feels like. Not just, you know, with Pat Mahomes, you saw it and you felt like with the ability to throw the ball, the highlight stuff, the incredible stuff. But with Joe Burrow, it's like just like dragging teams to victory and being the face of this team this early. I mean, he's the face of the league, Zach. Like he's the face of the league now.
I mean, he's the future. There's no doubt about it. And you know, barring some catastrophic injury, like I don't even want to bring that up, but he will have a ridiculous career, like a Hall of Fame career. I think that's already, you can already see that writing on the wall. And it really, I mean, you look at, he did it again. I mean, I mentioned it after they beat they won the first round, the wild card round. And then they won last weekend, and now they obviously beat the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. But every weekend, he proves it time and time again. There's no answer to the question of how do you stop Joe Burrow. There is no answer. He, again, against the Chiefs, he torched them when they played base defense, 60% for two touchdowns, and his production went up when they blitzed him from 60% completions to 63%. So the kid is just unbelievable. You cannot stop him. There's nothing you can do. I mean, they took Ja'Marr Chase out of the game, essentially. And so he found T. Higgins. Shit, he had P. Ryan had a 47-yard or 41-yard reception. I mean, he is figuring out how to play the game, get through progressions. And if you want to take his go-to out, he'll find the next guy, right? And not only that, but he's just so lethal with and it's his swagger, right? When he sees someone is going to blitz him, he has a chip on his shoulder and he gets angry. Like he's like, how dare you blitz me? Like that's his mentality, and because of it, he's just dynamic. And it's just, as a Browns fan, it is infuriating because Baker Mayfield talks all this talks this huge game. He's Mr. Progressive, fucking insurance commercial guy. He's, you know, got the obnoxious wife. He had an affair. Like he's out there just being flippant and flamboyant, and goes on the field and looks like dog shit as a number one overall pick. And all you wanted and all you hoped was that he was what Joe Burrow is, right? That big dick energy, that swagger, that, you know, discount double check from Aaron Rodgers, like all of that. That's what you want in your quarterback. And Baker Mayfield is a phony. And it's just painful to watch Joe Burrow do it for the Bengals. For a Browns fan, it just is.
Baker Mayfield is the gas station equivalent to what Joe Burrow is. Baker Mayfield, I'm sure he wants the life that Joe has kind of worked for and achieved. I mean, they were both obviously transfer quarterbacks, both won the Heisman. But then after that, I mean, it kind of ends because Joe was able to go on and win the whole thing, be the number one overall pick like Baker, and turn a team around in 2 years and make them a legit team. And now this team is in the Super Bowl. And it's crazy because people are going to say I'm insane for this, Zach, but I would take Joe Burrow for the next 10 to 15 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes for the next 10 to 15 years. And the reasons I like Joe Burrow and would take him long-term over the reasons, you know, over Pat, are the same reasons why I always felt that Tom Brady was better than Aaron Rodgers. Even taking away the rings, just kind of the way they go about things, you know, being really good pre-snap, being able to dissect information, being able to process information at an elite level and then play with that winner's chip on the shoulder. All the reasons that I like Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers are all the reasons that I like Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes for the long term.
Yeah, Mahomes is kind of a wild card, right? He's that dynamic playmaker quarterback that scrambles around, makes some wild throws with crazy arm angles, crazy across body throws. Like, he's more Brett Favre than right. He is, you know, Troy Aikman or you know, John Elway. And so that's exciting for people. And don't get me wrong, he is ridiculous.
Right, yeah.
But he also will flip the ball into double coverage and Von Bell will intercept the ball and give the Bengals a chance to go down, drive down, kick a field goal, and win the game, right? Like, he will also do that shit. And every quarterback's going to throw interceptions, but it's the ones that he does throw are those, no, what are you doing? Like, that just like that pick into double coverage, like, just a dumbass throw. Because he's good for those. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think not that's how Aaron Rodgers is, but I think it's just, he just is dynamic. He's going to make some plays that no one else is going to make, but he's also going to make some mistakes because of his style of play. That's just what it is.
Right. And I like Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers obviously is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it's like sometimes those quarterbacks with the elite arm talent that are like gamers like that, first of all, they try to fit the ball into windows that just aren't there. Or they hold onto the ball a little bit too long and you run into some issues with that as well. I mean, one of Patrick Mahomes' biggest mistakes in that game was the running around and the poor play to Tyreek Hill at the end of the half. It just feels really different between the two of them. And I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, and really it's proving more and more that Baker Mayfield is fraudulent, is what it is. Because I think like, to my eye, they had comparable weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and yet there's every excuse in the book for why Baker Mayfield hasn't been successful. But you look literally within your own state, and there's Joe Burrow with those similar weapons and a worse offensive line, and that team's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is the Browns have one of the most dynamic rushing attacks in the National Football League. They have one of the better O-lines in the National Football League, and the Bengals are putrid at offensive line. I mean, they are horrendous. Like, Jackson Carman, the little soft bitch from Clemson, he is not good enough to play for the worst offensive line in the NFL. And when he did, if you watch that game on Sunday, he played 20 snaps out of 44, which is crazy that they only had 44 offensive snaps in an overtime game. That's just wild. Passing snaps. But he played 20 of the 44 passing snaps and gave up 6 QB pressures to lead the team. He didn't even play half of the passing snaps. He wasn't even in for half of them. And he gave up the most quarterback pressures. And Isaiah Prince, our boy, from our Buckeye, gave up 4. So they gave up 10 together. It's just a struggle bus on that offensive line. But yeah, getting back to your point, I mean, Baker has far more. He doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase.
He had Odell Beckham Jr. at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I agree. But Odell is not Ja'Marr Chase. Even now, he's a 2. He's a wide receiver 2. That's what he is. I don't think he's a 1, and I don't think he has been for a couple years now. And you look at what he did. He's obviously proven that he was not the issue, right? But he goes over to the Rams, and he's there 2 now. Obviously, with what's his name getting hurt, Robert Woods got hurt right after they announced they were signing Odell. But anyways, I just. You watch what he's doing. Clearly, Baker's the problem. There's just no more excuses for Baker. The Browns have a better defense than the Bengals. They have a better offensive line. I think the Bengals get the nod when it comes to offensive skill and not running back. I mean, the Browns have 2 running backs that are better than Joe Mixon's a good back, but I'll take Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt all day, every day over him. So there's no more excuses. Running out of excuses. Now his left shoulder was hurt and needed surgery. Like, he's a right-handed quarterback. Shut up. Throw the ball. Like, what are we talking about? The excuses are few and far between, and I'm about over the Baker Mayfield era. I think it's time to go get a proven quarterback. Go get Deshaun Watson. Go try to make a run at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's an attractive place right now for a really good quarterback because of what we just talked about. They have a great defense. They have offensive weapons. And they have a great running game and an offensive line. Like, that's what any quarterback wants.
That's like supposedly plug and play for a Super Bowl run, but that's supposed to look like, which is why at the beginning of the year they had such good odds to win the Super Bowl, or at least make it.
Speaking of odds, did you know that the Bengals were tied with the Jaguars for the worst odds to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year at +10,000? If you bet $100 on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl before the season and they win next week, you would have won $10,000 on a $100 bet. Think about that.
Goodness. That's insane. That's insane. Literally nobody saw it coming, but that's, you know, Joe Burrow.
Nobody.
Incredible. I'm giving the Menace Dad of the Year award to Odell Beckham Sr. after seeing what Odell Beckham Jr. has been able to do. And the Rams, you know, they have a chance to kind of right every wrong and cement Matt Stafford as a Hall of Famer, depending on the ballot is up for debate. But Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. kind of leading the charge, and that's going to be a matchup that I'm excited to see kind of against those two safeties. And then how much shit Eli Apple talks, but I'm really curious about.
Yeah, Eli Apple won't even be able to hold Cooper Kupp's jock. And Eli made a couple good plays in the game on Sunday.
But
he didn't cover anyone, right? That's the problem here. He didn't cover anyone. Like, you watch the film, and Eli's that corner that the quarterback overthrows a ball, and he's the one in the receiver's face doing the incomplete sign. Like, he is that type of corner. He's a complete douchebag. I mean, he is a complete douchebag, and he's not a good player. Well, never was. He wasn't even a good player at Ohio State. I mean, we can have revisionist history, but I watched him day in, day out get his dick beat in by Michael Thomas every single rep. Like, he's not a good player, and he's a complete flaming douche. Like, that's just what he is. We can say that. I know he was a Buckeye. It doesn't mean you have to like him, right? He didn't cover anyone on Sunday. He dropped what should have been a surefire game-ending pick six because he got beat on a slant and Mahomes threw it behind the receiver right to Eli and he dropped it, buttered it like an absolute non-athlete. Right?
Bradley Roby voice, drop.
Yeah, right? And just bad. Bad. And then, you know, shout out to Von Bell for the game sealer. What an unbelievable play he made. Eli, the one play he made was the tackle on the goal line. I mean, he traveled around and made the tackle on the one. So
what's it mean when a corner leads the team in tackles?
I mean, it's usually a horrible thing. It means they gave up 100 passes or 100 completions. But I mean, Eli is just... He played okay, right? 64% grade, 6 catches on 8 targets for 54 yards and a touchdown. Like, he got scorched, and he's going to be on Twitter talking about Tyreek Hill stinks and Julio Jones stinks. Like,
immediately after, not even 5 minutes after the game, Zach, he said, on Twitter.
He said baby cheetah or something like that?
Yeah, baby cheetah and Miko Hardman.
Bro, it's just pathetic to watch. I mean, pathetic. He, like I said, 8 targets, 6 catches for 54 yards. That's a 75% completion percentage. Like, just, I don't know what else to tell you. It's just not very good. And a touchdown.
So who do you put him on though? Like he's going to be out. He's one of the starting corners for the Bengals.
I don't know. Whoever you put, Odell will eat his ass up. Cooper Kupp will absolutely dominate him. That's why I'm going to be honest. I want the Bengals to win. I love the Bengals. Oh my God. I can't believe I said that. I love Joe Burrow. Okay. That's what I was trying to say. I want the Bengals to win, but I don't think there's a chance in hell. That offensive line cannot pass pro against Von Miller and Aaron Donald. There's no way. And then you flip it to the other side of the ball. I don't know who in Cincinnati is going to cover. Like, who's Eli covering, to your point? I mean, he can't cover Odell. He can't cover Cooper Kupp. He's going to probably struggle covering Van Jefferson, to be honest with you, who's their three. Thank God they don't have Robert Woods because he couldn't cover him either. So it just, I don't know who he's going to cover. He's a complete liability. He has been everywhere he's ever been. The fact that he was a first rounder is what's wrong with the NFL and the draft process. And
top 10 picks, my New York Football Giants fan. Bates and Bell are going to have to play out of their minds, I think, to be honest. They're going to have to play out of their freaking minds.
Well, they're going to have to have a great game plan because you're not going to be able to just line up one-on-one and cover those two that I just mentioned, Cooper Kupp and Odell, all game long. You're not going to be able to do it. I mean, the 49ers didn't even try to do that, and they still went for – Cooper Kupp went for 142 and 2 touchdowns, and Odell went for over 100. Like, you're just not going to do that and expect to win the game.
Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about Joe Burrow for one sec because I was getting dragged on Twitter because I mentioned that there's going to be, you know, four former Buckeyes or four Buckeyes that are captains of the Super Bowl. And that's going to be a really cool picture and a picture that I'm sure is used in recruiting. And everyone was just, I mean, it made its way over to Clemson Twitter. They're dragging me, talking about, you don't get to claim Joe Burrow. There's that fake quote going around that Shaq posted, I think being funny, being a troll like Shaq is, about Joe Burrow not liking Ohio State or some shit like that. I don't know. The whole claiming thing to me is weird, Zach. Zach, let me get the record straight. I don't claim Joe Burrow. I mean, that's another man. That's his own thing. I like Joe Burrow. He's an Ohio kid. He graduated from Ohio State. Ohio State helped him. You know, he credits Ohio State with helping him get to where he wanted to get to. And because of that, I like Joe Burrow, and it's not criminal for me to like Joe Burrow, but I'm not claiming anyone. I'm just stating the fact that he graduated from Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like, I understand the plight, right? Like, you can be a fan of Joe Burrow. You can say he is a Buckeye, 'cause he absolutely is a Buckeye. But I think where people have a problem is when Ohio State or even you go on and say, oh, the Buckeyes have four captains. It's like, well, yeah. No, LSU has that one. Like, you can't – Ohio State does not have four of the captains because he was an LSU Tiger. That's where he played football. But so it's just – it's mincing words, but it is – he is a Buckeye. He is a Buckeye grad. Ohio State fans can love him. They can – claim the fact that he did go to Ohio State and is a Buckeye. But when you start trying to lump him in with, like, oh, him, Sam Hubbard, and it's like, wait a minute now. Like, he played at LSU, though. He didn't play for Ohio State. Like, he's not a former Buckeye player in the same sense. Like, if Joe Burrow would have went off and sold insurance, no one would even remember his name, right?
Except for me.
Yeah, you might, but... He went on and did great things at LSU, and so now he's more revered and more, it's more, you know, appropriate and not acceptable, but there's more pride in claiming Joe Burrow now that he won a national championship, a Heisman Trophy, number one overall pick, going to a Super Bowl. Buckeye fans are everywhere like, that's my fucking dude, and you're like, no, it fucking wasn't. Like, but okay, but I get it. I mean, he is a Buckeye. You're allowed. Like, I love Joe. I love Joe when he came in as a recruit. I loved his mentality. I loved being around him. I loved coaching receivers when he was throwing it. Like, I loved everything about him. When he transferred, I thought it was the right move, absolute right move for him and for us. Went to LSU. I was glad that he started in 2018. He struggled a little bit. I was glad that they brought in Joe Brady. He grinded his face off, went out and had a magical 2019, was the number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy. And I'm just extremely happy for his success. I would have wanted it no other way. But the other side of this is there was no mistake made, right, by anyone involved. This was exactly how it should have played out. And everyone in hindsight, if you could go back, would do it the same way. Because it's about winning now. It's about immediate production. And Joe wanted a guarantee he could get on the field. So he left. Simple as that.
And with Joe, I think that part of the reason Ohio State fans like still love him, I would have loved him either way, is the fact that he still shows a lot of love to Ohio, you know, bigger than anything. And you know, during his Heisman speech, he thanked Ohio State. He thanked Mickey Moradi. You know, in 2018, during one of the breaks, he came back to Ohio State and put up on Dwayne Haskins. You know, when he was, you know, he was at LSU when he came back. So I think that's part of it as well. Like, it wasn't like a situation where it's like, you know, cut dry. DJ Academics, I'm out. And it wasn't like a Mookie Cooper situation where it was like 1 year and then gone. I mean, he was at Ohio State for some time. And you know, as an Ohio high school sports fan as well, I mean, that's how I came up, jamming and sliding. One of the things that he was, I mean, well known in Ohio as a basketball player and a football player. So it's not about me claiming anybody, but I do love the fact that he is a former Buckeye, a Buckeye, and doing really, really well. Want to keep it a little, man, this is a really NFL themed show, but Jimmy Harbaugh on signing day. He's going to interview with the Vikings in person after gauging interest. Zach, is he gone?
I think he might be. I'm kind of changing my tune. It looks like it. It's just shocking. I mean, he has to be, right? On signing day, to go to an interview with an NFL team on national signing day, it's just, I don't know.
It's a slap in the face. You're dunking on your employer.
You really are. And if there's any confusion or if there's any, like, if he's not convicted about leaving and taking this job, or he doesn't get it, like, what a bad look for your current job to leave on signing day. Like, literally, you could go the next day. Coaches are always off on Thursday and Friday after signing day. You could just wait one day, but he's going on national signing day, which is insane. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think that there's a real strong possibility that he goes to the Vikings or the Dolphins. I mean, I know the owner of the Dolphins is a big Michigan guy, and all offseason had said, listen, I'm not going to take Jim from Michigan. Like, that's where he belongs. Yeah. I'm an alum. Like, I want him at Michigan. I would never take Michigan's coach, you know, as a true Wolverine. And then Jim started shopping around with the Bears and the Vikings, and the Dolphins owner sitting here like, whoa, 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 whoa. If you're leaving anyways, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I would like to talk to you. Like,
it's like, I'm not going to sleep with my friend's wife. I care about my friend. But then you see she starts sleeping around with everybody. It's like, oh, wait a second. Like, I honestly wouldn't mind.
Right. And so I think there's a strong chance that he leaves. And I think a lot of it, as I mentioned before, from what I heard from people on the other side in Michigan, you know, the people in the know, was this was mostly about academic transfer credits, right? And academic, the standards to get in. That's what it was about. It was about Shea Patterson transferred in and lost over 30 credits. And so, you know, it took him far longer to graduate, or will take him far longer to graduate. And so I think that was a big deal with the transfer portal era. And I think Jim and the academic side at Michigan have been butting heads hard. And this was his bargaining piece, right? He had the year he needed. He could go in there, kind of pound the table, say, this is what I need to keep this success up and take it to the next level. And if they weren't willing to do it, I'm with him. I would say, yeah, fuck off then. I'll go back to the NFL. You guys aren't committed to beating Ohio State and doing things like Ohio State. I'm out. I wouldn't blame him one bit. And so that's what I think has happened. And I do. I think he's gone.
This feels like a toxic relationship no matter what. Even if he's not gone, it just feels like a toxic relationship between Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. Now, if you are Michigan, what do you do now? Do you kiss his ass and try to get him to stay, you know, offer him a bump, this, that? Or do you say, you know what? Fuck it. He wants to dunk on us on signing day. We'll go start calling coaches. Let's get Sean Payton on the line right now. Let's get so-and-so on the line right now and see about a high-level replacement. It also sucks because most of the good coaches have found new homes already.
Well, you still have the NFL turnover, right? And not only that, you can always, you know, if you want to promote a guy, right, a smaller school coach, or even, I've heard awful rumors, and if they do this, boy, you talk about fucking it up, but they could promote Josh Gattis to be the head coach. I'm not even saying that like he would be a bad hire.
I
mean, he would be. I the guy is not Ryan Day. He's not, you know, Stan Drayton, even like thought. But anyways, I'm not here to shit on him. What I think they would do, obviously Matt Rhule would be one of the first players in play. I think that Matt Campbell would be an obvious choice or play avenue to go down. I don't even know that would be my move if I'm the athletic director. But the guy I think that would surprise you, the guy that I think has a chance to actually step across enemy lines and take that job, would be Luke Fickell. Because I think he's seeing the landscape, right? Marcus Freeman is the head coach at Notre Dame, right? He's probably not coming back to Ohio State anytime soon. So is he a Cincinnati lifer? Can he really build that up? He got a taste of it, right? He realized that they could play great defense at Cincinnati, at championship level defense, but they're never going to have the skill, the firepower to go win it all, right? And Luke's a competitive son of a bitch now.
And they're moving to the Big 12 here pretty soon.
And they're moving to the Big 12. So, I mean, they're years away from the talent level at Cincinnati being on par, or even not even on par, just capable of beating Georgia or Ohio State, right? They're just not there yet. They can beat Notre Dame, who didn't have great athletes. They can beat Indiana, who is down and doesn't have great athletes. But when they play a team with great athletes, I mean, those receivers from Cincinnati didn't get open one fucking time against Georgia. Not one time, not one snap. And so it's like, I think he sees that He's at the ceiling at Cincinnati. Now, he could try to ride the ceiling forever, but does he want to achieve bigger and better things? So I could see Luke Fickell strapping on to maize and blue and having a little Bo Woody action. You know, Bo Schembechler worked for Woody at Miami of Ohio, you know, ended up being the head coach there and then got the head coaching job at Michigan and created, what, the 10-year war with Woody. So I could see it happening. I really think Luke would become a player at Michigan.
Then you end up with Kerry Combs being the head coach of Cincy?
Probably. I mean,
that'd be crazier for him. So, yeah, no, it's getting really interesting. Michigan is in a tricky spot. So, Michigan fans, instead of coming at me, you know, whining that we can't claim Joe Burrow, go get your coach situation figured out because it's looking like a pretty toxic situation. The press conference, introduction press conference for yesterday, Zach. I don't know. You said you got a chance to watch some of them. But do you have any stories from your introduction press conference when you started at Ohio State or at Florida?
Damn, that was a long time ago. no stories really. It's definitely.
Is it weird?
It's weird because you're entering, you know, into a realm. It's almost like you walk into a room and there's just a group of people, like, you know, introductory press conference. Let's say there's 40 reporters in there, right? It's probably more than that, but let's just ballpark it. You walk in there, there's 40 reporters. Like, those guys are going to. Are going to drive the narrative that is your career as long as you work for this team, right? Whatever the team is. So when you walk in, so it's like a level of like, these guys are slapdicks. I don't want to fucking talk to them because they don't know what they're talking about. And all they're going to do is spew bullshit, right? But the other side of it is like, they control a lot of the public image of me and the job I'm doing and my players. So it's important to, you know, be nice to them to an extent, right? And so, you know, that first press conference, you're always just trying to impress them and leaving them, you know, with a positive image of you so that they go back and write an article. And at least they don't have to say anything positive, but there's just a positive spin on everything. Right. And so you try to build those relationships. And I've mentioned before, I made some good friendships with a couple reporters that were in those rooms. And because they're good dudes. And because I'm normal, I was not some egomaniac that was like, I coach at Ohio State. You're beneath me or anything like that. Like, they're just good dudes. And so I was like, shit, I went out to Arizona. Jeremy Birmingham was out there. I was like, hey, you want to grab a beer? He's like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, why can't I have a beer with the guy that's in the media? He's a good dude. Like, why is that allowed? But it's like uncommon. They're like, oh God, you had a beer with a reporter? Like, are you telling him secrets? Like, no, we just had a beer and talked about sports. What the fuck are you talking about? So it's an interesting dynamic for sure. You want to, you know, keep them on your good side, but at the same time, Ari Wasserman pop off a little bit and I'll fucking look at him like I want to choke him. And he knows what I'm thinking. And it's like, bitch, if we were not on camera right now, I would slap your fat ass. You know what I mean? So there is those relationships.
Catfish of the decade, Ari, by the way.
Catfish of the decade. But I only got to see Justin Fries. I'm going to watch the other ones today. But Justin's was very impressive. If you haven't watched it, I recommend watching it. He's the real deal, man. I've been trying to tell you, and you'll find out as the recruits start rolling in and this offensive line rolls out next fall. That was the real deal. He is the real deal, and it was a great hire. So it's going to be fun. I started watching Jim Knowles before we started recording, Chris. But I barely got into it. So I'm going to go watch the rest of that. But
we'll probably break those down tomorrow then a little bit more.
Yeah. And just initial reaction. He's an impressive dude. Knowles is an impressive dude for sure.
Yeah. Impressive as a teacher. It seems like, a good communicator, has me really excited about the McAllister kid. But I really thought Fry aced his, like Fry feels like a superstar already. This kind of the same feeling I got after watching Fry was the same feeling I got from watching Halfley's. Kind of that infectious energy matched with like kind of the expertise, kind of understanding that they both had to grind a lot very quickly to get to where they are. I just was super impressed with both.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm excited. I'm really excited, Zach. But that's all I have for today. You got anything else?
No, that's it. That's it. I'm glad to be back. We're going to get things ramped up rolling. And back rolling as we enhance and grow this off season. So appreciate everybody. Menace out.